This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show. This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show.
Hi, my name is Josh Shell, host of the Let's Start a Cult podcast, the only podcast that can predict your future. That's right, Fred, I can predict your future. And I'm here to tell you to invest in Dogecoin, the next big thing. Now, with that evil prediction out of the way, I'd like to introduce to you my guest this episode. He is from the dark and fascinating podcast, True Consequences, a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico and the American desert Southwest. Please welcome to The Covenant, Eric Carter Landon. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Josh. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. So were you hit with the snowstorm that's currently ravaging the southern United States?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're used to snow here, though, so it didn't hit us as bad as Texas got hit, but because they're not used to it, but we definitely are. So it was significant. It was about 4 days of snow straight. So
wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm from Canada, so we experienced that almost constantly for about 9 months of the year. So I feel your pain, although it's a little funny. Did you guys lose power or anything like that?
Oh, no. Like I said, we're used to that here. So, you know, our grid can handle it and our pipes can handle it. It's built for the cold. So
perfect. Well, that's good. Well, if you need to be heated up a little bit, I'll light up your life with this cult, and those puns will make sense in a second.
I can't wait.
In today's episode of Let's Start a Cult, we will be discussing the story of a new age organization that brutally stabbed a 3-month-old baby in the belief that he was the Antichrist and the harbinger of the apocalypse. And if that wasn't messed up enough, the group also caused the death of over 50 of its members. The horrible cult we are talking about today is the Order of the Solar Temple. Solar Temple, light. Yeah, there's the pun. Eric, have you heard of the Order of the Solar Temple before?
I have, and it is a creepy, messed up cult, for sure.
Perfect. Well, then you'll have some insight on this that hopefully will, if I miss something, you'll swoop in and let me know.
slow down.
All right, well, do you want to learn a bit about the Order of the Solar Temple?
I'd love to, yes.
Okay. If you said no, we just ended there.
And then it's over.
The podcast is over, yeah. All right, well, let's hop into it. Joseph de Marlborough was a prominent Swiss figure in the New Age movement, which was a philosophy that originated in the West, emphasizing spiritualism, mysticism, and to some degree, environmentalism. While eclectic, these ideas gained traction throughout the 1970s and became increasingly popular in the succeeding decade. This led to the creation of the organizations that were geared specifically towards promoting such ideas and bringing believers together. One of these was the Center for the Preparation of the New Age, which Joseph founded in 1976. A few years later, in 1978, he created yet another one called the Golden Way Foundation. So spiritual groups back then were clearly the modern day podcasts. Everyone's making them and you can never make enough, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because I always joke to my friends that I want to start a cult now. Like that's the next evolution from podcaster, right? Like that's what you go to.
I just skipped that step.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just dump straight into making a cult. But yeah, I said that. That's very true. It's similar. There's a following. They kind of just listen to you. It's a weird meta thing. This is weirdly meta right now. Both groups proved to be immensely popular in Switzerland, and Joseph was quickly able to gather a large number of followers, all of whom believed that participating in the organization's activities would help them prepare their bodies and spirits to enter the new world. So very cult-like, obviously. While Joseph was busy amassing followers from across Switzerland, another man, Luc Jouret, was making a name for himself as one of the most prominent homeopathic practitioners in France. To further his knowledge, he traveled around the world in search of spiritual and alternative forms of healing from other cultures. The Philippines, China, Peru, and India were among many of the countries he visited.
I feel like that is the playbook for how to start a cult, right? You go and like copy everybody else's spirituality and turn it into some kind of hybrid package deal that you can sell to somebody.
Mishmash, yeah. And actually, that's funny that you say that because when we get to the cult, it is actually a mishmash of a bunch of ideas. So very true. In addition to his private homeopathy practice in France, Luc also became known as one of the best lecturers on holistic health. Thanks to his charismatic and engaging personality, the presentations that he gave drew hundreds of people, with everyone in the crowd enraptured by what he was saying. During the early 1980s, he received an invitation from the Geneva-based Golden Way Foundation to hold a special lecture for its members. He accepted the request and found himself becoming fast friends with the organization's founder and leader, Joseph de Marlborough, whom he saw as a kindred spirit. So they're coming together with their organizations.
Let's just join our crazy forces and make one giant crazy fun time.
It's like the old commercial. He got peanut butter in my chocolate. They're like, he's chocolate, he's peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly.
The two realized that they shared the same set of beliefs and saw in each other strengths that they themselves lacked. For instance, Joseph admired Luke's innate magnetism, while his own ability to attract followers, like a moth to a flame, appealed to the homeopathic physician. It didn't take them long to understand that they could further their ideologies by working together. And so the two men decided to found an organization that would bring together like-minded people whom they could impart their philosophies on.
Code for brainwash.
Code word for get out of there, red alert.
run.
In 1984, they were finally able to achieve this dream. The name of the group that they created, when translated from the original French into English, was Reese's Pieces. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was the International Chivalric Organization of the Solar Traditions. And that is a mouthful. So soon it was shortened to Order of the Solar Temple, or OST.
I mean, if it doesn't sound like a made-up religion yet, like that is enough to... Red flag, everybody. Yeah.
You know, keep it short. Christianity, Islam, it's just one word.
Right.
It's easy to say, easy to remember. But it's a good call that they changed it too, because like Order of the Solar Temple sounds way cooler. Like it sounds like almost something you'd find in Skyrim or something. Like
yeah, or like a knockoff of the Avengers or something.
Something like that. Yeah, like it's the age of the Order of the Solar Temple. That's the next movie when Thanos is gone. So
exactly.
Joseph and Luke sought to combine the New Age movement with the evangelical Christian doctrine, with the goal of recreating the medieval Knights Templar and the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. So as you were saying, Eric, there's the combination of the two. They're like the Knights Templar and the Order of the Golden Dawn, which I'll get into. The Knights Templar, yeah, for those of like, because not everyone knows what these are, but the Knights Templar played a critical role during the Crusade in the 12th century. They were a massive organization that consisted of devout Christians who were issued special rights by Pope Innocent II, which enabled them to carry out military operations while protecting Europeans on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. They were spurred by their religious fervor, and with their internal code of conduct prohibiting them from retreating, the Knights Templar quickly established themselves as fierce warriors capable of bringing down entire Islamic armies. Thousands of people across the world both feared and admired the organization. And that's what you want, I think.
I mean, if that's what you're going for, then cool, but I don't want that.
No, I mean, as an army, I guess that's a good thing, right? You want to be
fear. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As a new age religious practice, I don't know if that's quite the...
Might be a little dramatic, yeah. Just a little dramatic.
We never back down. It's like, all right, chill, dude. I just wanted to meditate or whatever.
I'm just here for the brainwash weekend. Come on.
On the other hand, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn was a secret society active during the late 19th century, whose followers devoted themselves to the study and practice of the occult. They were widely regarded as a magical order due to the fact that their activities involved metaphysics, the paranormal, and spiritual development. I mean, right off the bat, two excellent groups to base your new order on.
Right, so we have fundamentalist Christianity mixed with magic. It's like oil and water.
Well, is it? Because, I mean, Jesus did magic, technically, if we want to get technical about it.
True. I think if you ask like a fundamentalist Christian, then they would say it would be oil and water. But true. I can see the appeal of blending them together, for sure.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, everything's better with a little bit of magic, you know?
It's like when you mix all the colors of the Play-Doh together and then you get this like ugly gray mass. It's kind of like that.
Just worse than you thought it would be.
Way worse, and it gets out of hand really fast.
Joseph and Luke, however, believed that combining the ideologies of these two influential groups would allow them to survive the impending apocalypse. More than that, they admired the strict hierarchy that characterized both the Knights Templar and the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Are you even a cult if you don't have an apocalypse plan?
No, that is like, I want to say 90% of all cults are, the world's going to end someday, right? And actually, they take a lot of their end days from Christianity. I will say, like, it's like the second coming of Jesus or whatever. Like, that's kind of their mindset, mm-hmm. which we get into a little bit later on. But yeah, it's a big thing in cults for sure.
Yeah.
According to the two men, this structure would usher in harmony and control despite the chaos of the 1980s, which was a period rife with uncertainty, global discord, and rapid changes in technology. For instance, the first half of the decade was marked by a series of terrorist attacks, as well as an increasing tension between the United States and the Soviet Union. We live in 2021 right now. That doesn't seem like a lot.
Although I remember that. You probably are too young to remember that, but I do.
Very much.
So yeah. I will age myself. it was pretty scary. You know, you had not just the Soviet Union, but you also had Gaddafi in Libya threatening to fight with everybody. There was a bunch of tension everywhere and everybody was freaked out. And then on top of it, you had the whole stranger danger thing and, you know, your parents are convinced that you're going to be abducted and molested and murdered. So this was the perfect time to create a cult and alleviate everybody's fear.
That's true. Very true, actually. Yeah. And I've talked about this a few, like the 70s, 80s were a great time for that new age religious movement kind of thing. Yeah, no, great point and great perspective. Like, I guess from my point of view, we've always lived with nukes in my life. So it's been kind of a constant, I guess. So it's not like it's a new thing. We're just always in fear, my generation. Order and structure were necessary to get through these frightening world events. And ultimately, those who were subject to it would be able to survive the apocalyptic second coming of Christ, transported to a planet that was orbiting the star Sirius, where they would live out a utopian afterlife.
My God. I mean, they're just hitting every box. It's amazing.
Props for creativity, though. Like, this is like Heaven's Gate level shit.
Exactly.
They're almost worse than Heaven's Gate in many ways. Mm-hmm. I think they kill more people, too. So anyway, we'll get into that. But the Order of the Solar Temple swiftly gained notoriety across North America and Western Europe, thanks to lectures given by Luke in France, Switzerland, and Canada. He also created radio shows where he went into more detail about the various themes that he discussed during his presentations.
Podcaster.
Yeah, radio show. Uh-oh. Red flag. Luke was the public face of the organization. However, everything behind the scenes was taken care of by Joseph. He reportedly charged existing members and potential ones hefty fees, claiming that they would prove their devotion to the Order of the Solar Temple and its mission. These astronomical payments allowed him to live a lavish lifestyle, one filled with first-class airplane tickets and several luxury homes. There's another checkbox.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, this is out of the handbook of how to start a cult, right? Like it has to be. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely dealing money, you know, grifting a little bit. It's great. It's awesome. By 1990, the organization had managed to establish their core ideas and beliefs. For one thing, they referred to Jesus Christ as the Solar God King and believed themselves to be working towards the unification of Christianity and Islam, which is a bold but noble cause, I suppose. People have been trying that for years.
Yeah, good luck.
Also, I love Solar God King. That is a great, like, that is almost a superhero name for Jesus.
I feel like you need a shirt. A Solar God King shirt.
A Solar God King shirt? I love that. All right. I'm thinking about it. I'll get on that. A hierarchy was also created within the Order of the Solar Temple, which was characterized by three different levels, with each bearing their own set of functions and responsibilities. The first structure was called the Amanta Club, and its goal was to expand the organization's reach, enabling certain individuals, or the quote-unquote spiritual elite, to reach a higher state of consciousness. To achieve this, they gave a series of lectures in Europe and North America, reaching as far as the Caribbean. The lectures given by the Amanta Club drew large numbers. However, only a few people were selected to be members of the spiritual elite.
Was that based on how much you paid?
Honestly, you're probably dead on of what it actually is. Yeah. It's probably, correlating with, you gave us $50? I don't think you're good enough. But you gave us $500. Come on in. And I actually don't know the prices either. I'm just spitballing, and it was probably way more than $500 if I was to guess.
Oh, for sure.
The second structure within the Order of the Solar Temple was referred to as the Archidia Club. This level was exclusive only to the individuals who were able to completely absorb the basic knowledge and information imparted to them by those in the Amanta Club. These names are wildly hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
The Archidia Club was geared towards providing members with deeper and more in-depth knowledge of the group's philosophies, ultimately allowing them to move towards a higher state of consciousness. Lastly, the Order of the Solar Temple's most restricted level was called the International Knighthood Organization. Way easier to say, but way longer. Those who were able to attain this level were granted special privileges, including access to publications that only they were permitted to read and to activities that were exclusive to this structure. By this time, the Order of the Solar Temple had swelled to nearly 500 members, located across Europe and Canada. The majority of them donated astronomical sums to the organization in the belief that the money would be used to build health centers in their respective countries. Eric.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the Order of the Solar Temple so far?
Where do I sign up?
Sadly, I don't think they're around anymore. So,
I have all this cash I need to give away. Like, what do I do with it?
I have so much money that I need it to be alleviated from.
I think it's like we've said the whole time, you know, this is all out of the How to Start a Cult playbook. And, you know, I think that the hindsight of it, we have the fortune of having hindsight because we can look back at this and see it happening. But I'm sure that the people that were hoping for some kind of spirituality or, you know, some kind of awakening out of it, they didn't really have the advantage of seeing everything from the view that we get right now. So it's pretty easy to be like, huh, those guys are crazy. But I don't know. I think anybody could become susceptible to being in a cult.
Oh, absolutely. And I would never make fun of the victims of the cult in like the higher up level, like the knighthood ones. Yeah, they know the bullshit because they're getting the money probably.
Exactly.
But the people on the lower levels, like, absolutely. They're I mean, and we're seeing it nowadays with social media and stuff. It's so easy to get like radicalized to one group or another just because that's all the information you hear. And especially back in those days when there weren't cell phones and the internet. There was the internet, but it wasn't quite as accessible. It's very easy to get brainwashed and when all you're hearing is this guy is our Lord and Savior, whatever. No, for sure. That's definitely a thing to consider.
Yeah, I think too, you know, people that are susceptible to this kind of indoctrination, they're in a vulnerable situation usually, you know, whether it's emotional or mental vulnerability, it's pretty easy to find something like this and really hope that it could solve your problems.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, if you're giving away all your money, then you're in financial issues and then you rely on the cult. So it's a fee, like a what's that called?
It's like a vicious cycle.
Vicious cycle. That's the word. Thank you. I'm losing it. In the early 1990s, the order of the Solar Temple went through several drastic changes. For one thing, Joseph de Marlborough began to be perceived as corrupt and dishonest, which led members to openly despising him. I wonder why.
Weird.
Weird, yeah. During the first few years of the organization, he had presented himself as the physical representative of the higher being that they revered. More importantly, he had claimed to be a vessel through which their divine messages were transmitted and communicated. However, the lavish lifestyle that he led rubbed members the wrong way, especially since they were forced to live humbly in order to contribute more money towards the organization. So, say what you will, like, these people are actually light years ahead of a lot of the other cults I've done. Like, the followers, they understand that this is kind of, he's kind of a grifter and maybe not the guy that they should be following, which, kudos to them.
Yeah, well, anytime somebody's like, I'm the only one that gets the information and I get to tell you what the information is and you have to believe it, that's like, you know, run away again. Get out of there.
Yeah, get out of there because he is lying. Because of this, many began to question Joseph's mystical powers and the spiritual visions that were purportedly granted to him by the higher beings. Among his detractors, and perhaps the most outspoken ones, was his own son, Ali. After discovering that his father's visions were merely staged with the use of special effects and holograms, which is, wow, it was like a Michael Jackson concert. Ali denounced him to the rest of the organization, which prompted the departure of at least 15 people. So kudos to his son.
I just love that that this guy is like doing all these theatrics to try to convince people. And let's be honest, like the graphics and the quality of holograms in the 1990s were nowhere near what they are today. So for people to be fooled by that is kind of baffling to me.
Yeah, definitely. Well, definitely. Yeah. But I guess if you're already believing it, then you see something, you're already like, it just reaffirms it, I guess. While there were still a lot of members who doubted Ali's allegations and continued to believe that Joseph genuinely possessed mystical powers, the perceived changes in his attitude and personality led to even more questions about his authenticity. For instance, he'd initially been open to receiving criticism and feedback from his followers, but as the years passed, he became increasingly authoritarian, demanding absolute and unconditional obedience. He desired total control of the organization and began to feel threatened by those he believed to be his competition. In fact, there were even members who accused him of attempting to drive a wedge between certain individuals in the group in an effort to grow his power. So he's basically the heel on every reality TV show.
And also basically what every other cult leader does. They become controlling, authoritarian, demanding, requiring unconditional respect and support and love no matter what. You know, and then they create this whole isolation situation where they're isolating people. I mean, it's just, they're all the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
Shh, don't tell my audience that. I need a show.
Sorry. They're not. They're different.
They do play by the same playbook. Yeah, for sure. Like, and Kate and I talked about this last time from Ignorance Was Bliss. We talked about this last episode where it's, are they genuine in their beliefs when they started off, or are they... Well, she thought they were all schizophrenic, which was a whole wild topic. And I believe that some might start off with good, wholehearted beliefs in changing the world. And then they get that taste of the money and the lifestyle and yada, yada, yada. And then they get scared that they're going to lose that. So they grip tighter, you know. It's just...
I definitely think that there's got to be some level of personality disorder for somebody to start a cult and to create this whole thing. And you know, I think narcissism is probably one of the predominant ones that you'll see. I'm not an expert. I'm not a mental health expert, but you know, I do study murderers and crime and all of that is very similar, and which is why cults fascinate me, because it's the same kind of morbid curiosity about abnormal psychology that just blows my mind and also is just fascinating for some reason.
Absolutely. No, it is fascinating. And that's why I started the podcast and eventually cult, you know what I mean? To add to all these misgivings was the absence of the health centers that the leaders of the Order of the Solar Temple originally promised to fulfill. This was in stark contrast to the rich and luxurious lifestyle that Joseph led, which spurred many to suspect that the funds that they were donating weren't actually going towards the public good.
Insert Nicolas Cage, you don't say gif here.
That's it. Okay. Well, I'll find a way to do that audio-wise.
Yeah.
This led to a significant decrease in the amount of donations that the organization brought in. To be more specific, in 1991, the Order of the Solar Temple amassed nearly $500,000 Swiss francs. But in 1993, they were only able to collect 89,000. So that's a huge drop off. And it's very interesting to see the people within the cult turn so drastically against their leaders for stealing their money. But Eric.
Yes.
Do you know who won't steal your money?
Who?
The wonderful people and products that sponsor the show.
That's right. They will give you money, or they will give you products in exchange for currency.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really awkward. I'm sorry. I wasn't good in that.
This episode of Let's Start a Cult is brought to you by Free Lunch Coffee. How do you feel about helping starving children with your morning coffee? Bold idea, right? Almost as bold as the coffee from freelunchcoffee.com. Free Lunch Coffee is on a mission to end hunger in the lives of young children. When you buy just one bag of Free Lunch Coffee, you are providing 10 meals to children in need. Their coffee is specialty grade, certified organic, and fair trade. Free Lunch Coffee is offering a 15% discount to my loyal listeners. Just go to freelunchcoffee.com, select the coffee you want, use the coupon code CULT at checkout, and help save lives. On top of all of this, if you don't absolutely love their coffee, they will give you a full refund. That's right, a full refund. So if you want great coffee at a great price for a great cause, go to freelunchcoffee.com and use the coupon code CULT at checkout. That's coupon code CULT at checkout. Thank you, Free Lunch Coffee, for sponsoring this episode. This episode of Let's Start a Cult is also brought to you by Cultivate. Cultivate is a card-driven pattern-building game from Pops and Bijou Games. Play as a cult leader working to fill your compound with followers to help you carry out your agenda. But watch out. Rival cult leaders may try to sabotage you or convert the followers you can't keep in line. You might also gain unwanted attention from pesky investigators who try to get in your way. Persuade the right followers, outwit your foes, and rise above the rest. The Kickstarter for Cultivate goes from now until March 28th. So go to Kickstarter and type in Cultivate to back the campaign, or go to popsbeju.com to learn more. That's popsbeju, popsbeju.com for more information. Thanks to Cultivate for sponsoring this episode. Probably shouldn't associate stealing with my advertisers, right?
Right.
Ah, well, you live and learn. Just like Joseph lived and learned from being literal human garbage who swindled people out of money. Just kidding. He didn't. He quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah, if he learned, we wouldn't be talking about him right now.
Yeah, no, he definitely did not learn anything. As dissonance within the organization grew, Joseph became increasingly enraged, particularly because he was the subject of most of the criticisms. By then, the Order of the Solar Temple, along with many of its members, had relocated to the province of Quebec, Canada, to await the apocalypse. Instead of the second coming of Jesus Christ, however, they received something more sinister. And actually, this is a fun fact, there's been a theme for my past three episodes. It's been Quebec-themed, because there's a surprising amount of cults coming in Quebec.
I just like to tell everybody that when I start my cult, it's going to happen. We're going to Costa Rica. We're not going to Quebec. I'm sorry, it's too cold. I want some sun and some beach, all that fun stuff.
They have great bagels, though, and maple syrup. So
it's still not enough for me. It's not enough. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's fair. So instead of the second coming of Jesus Christ, they received something more sinister. That something more sinister is, in 1994, Antonio Duet and his wife Nikki welcomed a newborn son, whom they christened Emmanuel. The couple were longtime devout members of the Order of the Solar Temple, but despite the religious fervor that they had displayed thus far, the name that they had chosen for their baby proved to be their downfall. The organization had believed that the birth of a godchild would be one of the earliest signs of the apocalypse, which meant that little Emmanuel Dutois was quickly declared by Joseph as the Antichrist. He claimed that the entire family had to be murdered, an order that was obediently carried out by his followers Joel Egger and Dominique Belaton on September 30th, 1994. Yeah, so that's terrible, obviously. And I think, if I'm being honest, I think the only reason he did this was to try and get everyone off his back, being like, oh, the apocalypse is coming. Everyone freak out about that instead of worrying about how big my, I don't know, bed is. I don't know what you, how would he flex back then?
Yeah, well, I think the real thing here is, if you're thinking about it from the perspective of, he has all these people mad at him, and what better way to get people to not be mad at you than to blame somebody else for the downfall of society, right? Like, that's, and who better to blame than a baby, which is, is disgusting and terrible, because the baby can't speak for himself, and, you know, the family, unfortunately, we're innocent in this situation, but it is classic narcissism at its finest. You know, shift the blame from me to somebody else so that I still look good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, innocent with an asterisk, because I mean, they were still in the religion. They could have, you know, bailed.
They didn't deserve to die. They didn't deserve to die, though.
No, absolutely not. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, the kid is definitely 100% innocent. The parents, you're like, okay, you didn't know it was coming, but you knew it was kind of a weird cult that was not always in for the best interests of yourself anyway.
Absolutely.
4 days after, the local Quebec authorities were called to investigate a burning chalet in the town of Morin Heights. Inside, they discovered the charred remains of the Dutoit couple, along with their three-month-old son. After an autopsy, it was determined that all of them had been stabbed with a wooden stake to death.
Brutal.
Yeah. At a nearby chalet, the bodies of Jerry and Colette Ginaud, who had both relocated from Switzerland to Canada, were also found. So this is kind of the start of the... Well, this is already tragic, but like the more tragic, like there's way more that happens after this. And this is kind of the trickling effect of the dam breaking.
Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it does.
That's every cult. Oh God.
Exactly.
The horror was far from over. A few weeks later, on October 5th, the tiny Swiss village of Sherry erupted into chaos when firefighters arrived at a farmhouse that was slowly going up in flames. Once the fire was contained, they stepped inside to investigate its cause, only to discover a total of 23 bodies scattered all over the place. They were all clothed in a strange ceremonial robes, with most sporting a single fatal gunshot wound in the head. Among the dead were several prominent figures, including Robert Ostigai, the mayor of Richelieu in Quebec, the bodies of his wife, Françoise, and a reporter from Le Journal de Quebec named Jocelyne Grandmason were also found inside. So this is kind of crazy that, like, how far this went into society. Like, it was mayors, journalists, prominent members of society were a part of this cult in Quebec and anyway. And I mean, it just goes to show, like, it can spread to people that we deem competent enough to run positions of government. I mean, I guess that's not a surprise to any of us after the last 4 years, but yeah, this just goes to double down on that.
I was going to say competent is a strong word to use to describe politicians now.
That's fair enough. I mean, I'd like to think Canada politicians are great, but this guy's proving that it's just as bad. So
who's the MP or whatever his name is from? I think it's Toronto.
Oh, you're talking about Ford.
Yeah, that guy.
The Ford that you guys all know is—he's dead. He died,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But his brother is now doing stuff, right?
He's actually the premier of Ontario, which is like our senator, I guess you'd call it.
Oh, geez.
He's better, but not by much. I'll say that. Less than an hour later, two burning chalets were again reported, although this time they were located in the Canton Valais, which was located approximately 160 kilometers away from Sherry. The authorities were able to recover 25 bodies from these chalets, including that of Luc Jurette and Joseph de Marlborough.
Wow.
So they went down and with their cult. I mean, kudos, I guess. I don't know. Like,
I think they get extra points for drama, maybe, because it was very dramatic.
That's true. I mean, that's why I'm surprised I don't hear more about this one. Like, you hear about Heaven's Gate and Jonestown, and like those ones were obviously horrifying, but this is definitely like,
it's up there
on that level, if not higher than some of them, like for spectacle wise, like they're just burning down and there's just 20 to 30 people in these buildings. It's crazy. According to the website Swiss Info, quote, several had been shot in the head or asphyxiated and many had been drugged in what were apparently ritual murdered. Although some were thought to have been willing participants in the supposed mass suicide, end quote. So they're saying a lot of them were probably forced into this. Let's be very clear. It was not all mass suicide, although there was probably, I don't even want to guess percentage wise, but there was probably a good chunk of them that willingly went along with this because their whole cult was the apocalypse is coming. They found the baby that starts the apocalypse. It just checks in with, like, a lot of them probably believed it.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like the apocalypse is coming, time to bounce. Yep. We're all going to die. Yeah, makes sense.
This exact scene played out once more on December 23rd, 1995, when 16 bodies were discovered in the Vercors mountain range in France. Among those recovered from here was Edith Bonlot, a celebrated Olympian who competed in the 1956 Winter Olympics. As news of these horrifying deaths spread across the globe, the world's eyes turned to the Order of the Solar Temple and the sinister secrets that it was hiding.
Heavy stuff.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Not the worst I've been through, but but it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a waste of life. So many people that were contributing to society, like the Olympians, journalists, like there's people that were doing hopefully good in the world. I can't say they were, but hopefully they wanted to do good and that's why they joined. And it's just kind of sad to see that their lives were cut short because of two crazy guys who wanted to make money.
Yeah, every time something like this happens, it's just so frustrating because you just wish that somebody would have stepped in and said, no, turn around, yeah. Get out of there. It's just heartbreaking, especially when you think about children being murdered and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
a lot.
I wish I could create an anti-cult. Maybe I'll do an anti-cult instead of a cult.
Yeah, sadly, anti-cults always turn into cults.
Damn.
There's nothing to form around when you're just like, we hate everything. And sadly, we will never know, like, why they did it because, I mean, both Luke and Joseph were among those who had died inside the chalet in Switzerland. And the authorities were unable to discover exactly why the Order of the Solar Temple had chosen to kill themselves. Had they believed that the apocalypse was imminent? Did they want to transcend the chaos that the world was experiencing? Or were they all just duped in committing suicide by a leader whom they looked up to? We'll never know the answers to these questions. What we do know is what started out as an organization dedicated to the New Age ended in the tragic deaths of a three-month-old baby, his parents, and more than 50 of the group's members. And that is the Order of the Solar Temple.
Bummer, man. That's a major bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a bummer. I really wanted to do this one because I don't hear enough about it. They've made documentaries and docuseries about all kinds of other ones, and it seems like this one was left out because it wasn't in America, which, fair, you guys love yourselves. That's, but Europe and Canada experienced this one pretty hard. Like, definitely Quebec and Switzerland and France, like, they were hit pretty hard by this in the communities that it happened in. Just imagine, I mean, 25 members in your community just gone tomorrow. Like, that's...
Well, I think you're right, though. This does have a lot of the same elements when you think about a Heaven's Gate or any of the other more widely known cults. You know, you have that messianic kind of predisposition, end of the world situation, and then mass murder, mass suicide. It's up there, and it definitely should be. It should be looked at more than it was. And I'll be honest, you know, I knew, being an American, I knew about Heaven's Gate. I knew about the Branch Davidians. I knew about all these other cults that were happening in my backyard. And we knew about Jim Jones because that was so massive and insane. But this thing, like, I don't remember this. And in the 90s, I was a teenager, so I should have been aware of it, especially knowing the fact that I'm, like, into all kinds of weird shit like this, and I always have been. You know, so I didn't learn about this until much later in adulthood when I started really getting into podcasts and heard a couple of them about this. But you did a phenomenal job telling the story. I'm now questioning my life choices, and do I really want to start a cult?
Well, here's what you could do. You can start a cult and then make it a democratic cult. That way, if you become too powerful, they can just vote you out.
but how am I going to become megalomaniacal? Like, how is that going to happen if people can control me?
These are conflicting. Like, these are conflicting ideas. Then just do it. I don't know. You could probably do it with your podcast audience now. Just say, hey, we're going to, where'd you say you wanted to go? The Caribbean?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. That's where it was. We're going to Costa Rica. Let's, everyone meet me down there. We'll just take over a town and it'll be ours. I think that's what you should do. Now, Eric, before we end off the show today, we have a pretty, you know, pretty fucked up segment called Cult Critique. Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts of the show, but I'm also a little fucked up, you know? Basically, my guests and I take a look at the cult we just discussed. We give it a rating out of 5 stars, as if you were rating something on Yelp. And we give comments on why we gave them that rating, as if you were writing a cult review. We're doing Yelp review, but we're doing it for cults. Does that sound good to you? Are you ready to...
Yeah, I'm on board. Let's do
join
it.
Join the terribleness?
Yes.
So, Eric, out of 5 stars... what would you give the Order of the Solar Temple and why?
I will give them 3 stars.
Okay.
I will give them 3 stars because I feel like it's all so predictable. We kind of knew what was happening. We knew, you know, it would have been 2 stars if it wasn't for all the drama and flash and pizzazz. So it's all flash and no substance. 3 stars. Do not recommend.
Please do not go to... They spit in my soup. No, I agree with that. That one's I was gonna say 2 stars, but you bumped me up to a 3 with that statement of the almost entertaining way that they took it in the holograms and whatever else it was.
Yeah, and I feel like DeMombro was like so ostentatious about everything. Like, you kind of have to appreciate that and respect that. It's kind of like you know, like an entertainer. You want them to be over the top. So you want your cult leader to be over the top as well.
And they were also really good at naming things. I want to put that on the for the 3 stars. Their name of the cult was excellent. Their name for Jesus, excellent. Their name for their level tiers were excellent. Like, they nailed the naming thing. And if that's all it was, then they would be killing it right now. Because, I mean, Jonestown, like the People's Temple is kind of boring. And like Church of Bible Understanding, like they're all kind of boring. But the Order of the Solar Temple, yeah, that's when I'd be interested.
That's pretty rad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Eric, please tell my audience about True Consequences and where they can find it.
So True Consequences is all about true crime in New Mexico and the American Desert Southwest. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. I also have another show called Dos Pequeños. I'll spell it for you because you may not be able to do it if I don't. It's DOS SPOOKQUENOS, which is a paranormal comedy podcast based in New Mexico. And I do that with my good friend, Alex. And I have a third one coming out, but I won't talk about it yet because it's not ready to launch. But Dos Pequeños, True Consequences can be found wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. And I'm really glad you spelled that one because that is not how I would have spelled it. But that's awesome. And so clearly you're very into the true crime like aspect of podcasting. Can you, little hint, is your new one about true crime or is it completely different from that? Just a little spoiler.
It's a complete departure. So it's, you're making me do it. So I'm going to talk about it. So it's called Great. And the subtitle is A Laugh at Life. And it's just me and Alex talking about things in life that are either great or not so great, depending on what we're talking about. It's going to be very casual, just a conversation between two friends. So nothing that's going to require a lot of research because I have enough of that on my hands right now.
That's fair enough. I do one and that's enough. But that's awesome. Now I have to ask, is Tony the Tiger your mascot for that podcast?
No, because I don't want to get sued by Kellogg's.
Fair enough. You should look for a sponsorship with them because that sounds like a great sponsorship.
I might have Anthony the Tigon or something.
Oh, there you go. Have him as like a recurring guest. I'll play him.
Okay, sounds great. Pun intended.
If you are loving this podcast, be sure to give us a review and tell your friends about it. If you want to keep up to date with the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @Let's_Cult. You can follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/Let's Start a Cult Pod, or you can go to letsstartacultpodcast.com and sign up for our newsletter. Thank you, Fred, for listening, and thank you, Eric, for coming on today. We will see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show.